The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So some of you know, I haven't given a talk like this, Dharma talk, for about over a month. And so I was reflecting on coming down here and giving a talk, and reflecting that one of the functions of a talk like this, a Dharma talk, is to point back to you. And not to hang on to what the teachings are, what's being taught, but rather have those, whatever's being taught, as being kind of a mirror that encourages you to be more with yourself, to observe yourself more, to understand yourself more, to look at yourself more, what's happening. And it's in that spirit that I like to offer this, that this is really encouragement to look at yourself. And one of the functions of meditation, which we do a lot of here at IMC, is to help with that study of ourselves. In a sense, the real book of Buddhism is found in yourself, not on the bookshelves. The book that you need to read if you're interested in Buddhist practice is found in yourself, in your heart, in your mind, and how you function, what goes on in you. And so sooner or later, when you're encountering Buddhist teachings, the idea is to turn away from the teachings, in a sense, and use them to kind of reflect, look more deeply at yourself, and to read yourself, to understand yourself with respect and care, and to kind of discover what's going on here. Unless you discover something about yourself, unless you understand yourself deeply, Buddhism will have no value for you. It'll just be an hopefully inspiring teaching that you carry around, but not much more. So it requires a willingness and the effort to start studying yourself. And meditation is one of those places that we can do that. It's a wonderful laboratory for understanding ourselves and learning about ourselves. So this idea of understanding and learning as paramount is different than how some people approach meditation. Some people approach meditation that it's about attaining or experiencing certain states, attaining certain spiritual experiences. And so there people are pushing or trying or looking for the right thing or the spiritual thing to experience. If only I had that experience, then everything, well, I'll live happily ever after. There must be something. I just have to kind of do the right thing and boom. And I'll just be taken care of. It's kind of magical thinking, and it's a kind of way of not taking responsibility for oneself. It's kind of like hoping that someone else is going to do it for you. So some people look to meditation for relief, which is a valuable use of it. Life is stressful, and so to find some relief. And so it's a place to get some rest and recovery, perhaps. And that's certainly valid. But if the emphasis is too much on that, then there isn't the studying of the self or learning about oneself. The nice thing about having learning as being at the forefront of what meditation is about is that you can learn in any circumstances, in any situation, any experience, anything that's happening for you in meditation. It's not uncommon for people who meditate, some people, to have some idea that certain experiences are acceptable or the right experience to have in meditation, and some are not. Some are proof that you've failed utterly and totally as a meditator. That meditation was a total waste of time, something. But if the approach to the whole world of meditation is to learn, then sometimes we learn more from the difficulties we have in meditation than we do in the nice experiences of meditation. Some people actually may even learn the wrong things when they have a certain amount of calm and bliss in meditation. They might learn that this is the most important thing. I have it. Now I can get the kind of, certainly at IMC we give out these badges, right? Successful meditator.
I don't see any.
You don't see any? Well, Try harder. And but sometimes, you know, we learn the most about ourselves and learn most about practice and the path to freedom when things are difficult, if that's what we intend to do, if that's what we try to do. So no matter what happens, I think a really useful approach is, what can I learn from this? What can I learn about myself? What can I learn from the inner process? What can I learn about the process of freedom in this situation? And not be blinded by an experience. I've known people who spent months and months and months trying to recreate an experience they had once upon a time in meditation, as if that was like, you know, it was a very meaningful experience for them, but it's like focusing on the experience. Here's an interesting idea, that if you have a good experience in meditation, what might be more important than having the experience is for you to learn how you lose it. And some people, as they lose a good, so-called good experience, just kind of give up. Oh, that was, you know, they get upset, or they get regretful, or they keep going back, looking back at that experience as if the measure of everything. And they're blinded to noticing what happens as they lose it. What do they get caught up in? What are the beliefs and values and feelings that go on? Some people, as they lose a good experience, a good state, one of the things they can learn is how they criticize themselves. I'm doing something wrong. I did. But if the spirit is to learn, then it becomes interesting. Look at that. I had this nice experience of calm and peace, and then, you know, I went to Costco. Or IKEA. And I started wanting a lot of things. And the way that I want things, or the way that I'm overstimulated, that seems to be an interesting place where I tend to lose my calm. What can I learn about this? Can I look more deeply at this and learn more? So this idea of learning and looking. So one of the reasons meditation is a good laboratory for this kind of learning is the repetitive nature of it, in that we do it over and over again. Like if you sit there and meditate every day, and in our tradition, we mostly close our eyes, and we simplify our lives. It's a very simple kind of laboratory relative to going to IKEA. And so you have a chance of beginning to notice more carefully what your inner processes are like, what the nature of your thinking is, your feelings, your reactions, your beliefs. And it's not that necessarily easy to see all these things, but the repetition of meditation, after a while start seeing, you know, there's a certain repetitive thought pattern going on here. Or the more quieter voices that we have that maybe are drowned out by all the concerns of daily life, finally have a chance to be seen, because in meditation we get quieter and we see. And so we might see some of the operating thoughts or beliefs that we base our life on. We might see the quality of our thinking. We might see that our thoughts are often about desire, or often about the ill will or hate, or often about anxiety or fear. And so you can kind of watch and see those thoughts, see that kind of thinking, and perhaps learn that it's not really in your favor to keep thinking of them. There's a cost to continually churn away, obsessed with these kinds of thinking. And it's a very, very powerful lesson to learn that thinking certain thoughts repetitively and over again is not really so useful. And for some people, it's meditation that can teach you that, sometimes much better than going around your daily life. I've obsessed about certain things in my, you know, going around daily life, and I haven't really understood or seen that I was obsessing about it until I sat down to meditate. Somehow I'm busy, I'm engaged, I'm in between my obsessions, I'm taking care of, you know, cooking and shopping and doing all these things. And so, you know, I'm not really looking at it directly and seeing what's the common theme that's happening. But when I sit down to meditate, it's easier to start noticing the repetitive common themes that go on. And as you start seeing the common themes, seeing how repetitive it can be, one of the lessons is, this isn't so useful. Now, if you really take in this lesson, this is not useful, this is where learning is really important, then I think there starts to be kind of a natural beginning, a natural movement to relinquish the grip on that kind of thinking. And that's a very different approach than seeing, I shouldn't be thinking. This is bad. You know, some kind of punitive or obligatory kind of approach. But really focus, again, on learning. Learn a lesson really well. A lot of the wisdom of Buddhism comes from familiarity. That's bad news. And the reason it's bad news is that familiarity means that you have to see it again and again and again. Guess what? You know, you have to see your foibles over and over again, to see your patterns of what you do that's maybe not so useful by seeing it over and over and over again. I say that so you can be patient with it. Just keep focus on learning. What can I learn from this? See it, understand. One of the things you might understand if you look more carefully at yourself is that you have all kinds of unnecessary or painful judgments about what you see inside of yourself. I shouldn't be this way. This is not right. I should be a different way. So maybe you have to become really familiar with that pattern in your thinking until some wisdom begins to dawn and you begin loosening the grip of that or not buying into it as much. You might also see in meditation the nature of your feelings, your emotions. It might be hard to notice, again, really take in a deep, register really in a deep way, what your emotional state is in daily life. You might not even know, but to have it register and be felt in a full way is something. And then in meditation, you have a chance also to see how you relate to your emotions. Do you judge them? Do you hold on to them? Do you try to push them away? Do you deny them? Do you try to fix them? What is your attitude and approach to them? Some of them might be okay, but the busyness of trying to fix and do and react is kind of tiring. And one of the things that's possible to learn in meditation, if the focus is on learning as opposed to doing, is maybe you don't have to do so much about what you see. Maybe it's okay just to experience your emotions as they are. And one of the great lessons that I've had in my life of meditation is how trustworthy it is to relax and open up and allow for whatever emotions I'm having. That there seems to be an innate, I like to think of it as biological, natural process of healing, of resolving, of unfolding around emotions that happens on its own if I pay attention but get out of the way. If I stay present and allow it to be there, stay present and be still in a certain way in meditation and let it unfold. And this has been a really important lesson for me because I had a tendency to always to judge, to push away, deny, fix all these things. So there's many things, I can go on and on, many things that you can learn from meditation about yourself. That laboratory of learning about meditation then shouldn't be left only for the world of meditation. But those lessons, where those lessons really begin having real value, is when we take those lessons and apply them to our daily life. When we learn enough about how we work inside that we can then start seeing it in as we go about life. So that you have a more acute sensitivity to certain patterns of thinking because you've gotten so sensitive to them in meditation, you're much more likely to catch them outside of meditation. You've gotten much more aware of how you tend to react and respond in meditation that you're much more likely to notice those reactions and responses outside of meditation. And meditation is a place to begin becoming more aware, to study, to learn about what your body is like, what it feels like physically to be in your body, what it feels like to relax, to open up your body, to be tense in your body. That heightened sensitivity in the body, mindfulness of the body, is valuable in meditation, becomes even more valuable in daily life when it becomes almost like a habit to come back and check in with your body and notice what's going on. So what are the lessons in meditation? How can you take those lessons in meditation and use those lessons, apply those lessons outside meditation? That's, I think, where some of the real benefits of this kind of practice begin coming. Without that application of the lessons of meditation outside of meditation, I think meditation itself won't keep deepening or growing or maturing. There's kind of a feedback loop that goes on. So we learn meditation about ourselves, we learn how to be with ourselves a certain way, and then we learn those. We learn to apply those in daily life. We learn more about ourselves in daily life. Our daily life tends to go smoother and easier. Then it's easier to come back and meditate. I want to mention one other thing that you can learn from meditation practice, and that is you learn certain skills. You learn certain abilities that get developed. And it might be that some of the skills you learn when things are difficult in meditation maybe are more useful than when things are good at meditation. So, for example, you might learn a lot of patience in meditation. And the stronger that patient muscle gets in meditation, the more you have it available outside of meditation in daily life. When I was a relatively new Zen student, my impression of, and maybe it's an idiosyncratic personal impression about Zen practice, but my impression of Zen practice is that a fair amount of the training involves practicing with pain, physical pain. At least it was for me, because you just had to sit in this, upright, cross-legged position and not move, absolutely not move. And I sat with a lot of pain, and I don't necessarily recommend it, but that was my experience, and I learned a lot about myself in my reaction to pain, my beliefs around pain, my self-pity around pain, so much about how I, because in meditation I could see it all working, and I could see how when I got caught by it, pain got worse, I got worse. And I learned how to shift my relationship to pain quite dramatically. I learned to have the pain without being oppressed by it. And so that was nice, for meditation, certainly. But most important was, sooner or later, outside of meditation, I encountered some kind of pain. Physical pain and emotional pain. And what I learned in meditation helped me so much to bring a useful, healthy kind of presence and relationship to that non-meditative pain. And so, my life was enriched by that experience. So I learned patience. I learned to let go of my obsessiveness, my being caught. I learned how to be more accepting and compassionate. I learned how not to interfere with my experience. I learned that it was useful to focus on my breathing as a refuge from getting caught up in my thoughts, coming back to the breath. And so all those lessons, all those skills, were then skills that I've been able to use in my daily life as well. There are times in daily life it's been useful to be patient, to learn to let go, to be more compassionate, to come back to my breathing so I don't get caught up in the drama of the moment, to stay balanced. So the idea of developing skills. So I said that when things are really difficult in meditation, it might be the best times for learning. It's also when things are good in meditation, so-called good, as I've said earlier, that one of the best opportunities of that good experience is how we lose that experience, how it disappears. It'll certainly disappear sooner or later. There's no experience which is going to stay constant. There's nothing like a meditative, pill you can take. And then from then on, you're just going to be, floating on a cloud. That's the point, right? Get enlightened and float on a cloud. There's no state or experience, no experience which is going to stay constant. When it was a nice state, what is it? How do you lose that? How do you lose your ease and your calm? And I think this is one of the great practices I really encourage people to do. Is if you sit in meditation and you experience some modicum of calm, ease, more than you usually have, it doesn't have to be dramatic, just a little bit more than ordinary life, just enough to be a difference. Then as you come out of your meditation session, come out a little bit slowly. I mean, get up and start do your life a little bit more slowly than you normally would, so that you can pay attention to the first hints, first movements of when you start losing that calm or ease or peacefulness. First movements of kind of speeding up and getting agitated. And then as soon as you start noticing that, take a couple of minutes to stop. Maybe sit down in a chair and take stock. Notice what just happened. And then ask yourself a question. And the question is, was what I got caught up in, what I got involved in, that got me more speeded up, causing me to lose my peace, was it worth it? Was it worth losing the peace for this thing? Ask that question. Was it worth it? Is it worth sacrificing your calm for this? And so, I mean, maybe it is. but don't be so quick to justify it. So, for example, I mean, some be small things. I've learned this lesson in such simple things as getting up from meditation and going to have breakfast and lingering over the newspaper so that I became late for what was going to be next. So I had to hurry and get everything ready and run out of the house. Was it worth lingering over the newspaper so that I could, I would lose my calm that I had from my meditation? And if I didn't ask that question, then the next day I might have done the same thing. But if I ask that question well, then I say, well, what, you know, maybe it's not worth it. So what do you do? What do you get involved in? And I would suggest that many people never question the choices they make that gets them riled up, that gets them agitated or caught or spinning. Partly because they don't have a vantage point of something to compare it to. And the calmer you can get, the greater vantage point, the more learning you can do about the loss of the calm. And so the deepest piece of meditation, one of the values of that, is it creates a dramatic contrast in order to study the subtle, deep ways in which we get caught and involved, so we can question that and see it. So, what can you learn from meditation? What are the opportunities for you in meditation that you can learn about yourself? What would you like to learn about yourself through meditation? That's a very different question than, how can I experience the right state? How can I get calm and peaceful? What can you learn? What would you like to learn? So, what I thought would be nice, since we're a little bit fewer people, being Labor Day weekend maybe, is if you would be willing to turn towards three other people, so maybe groups of four here, and share some thoughts you have about what you might want to learn or what you could learn in meditation with them. And this doesn't have to be your deepest, darkest secrets that you don't want to share with anyone, but rather something, you know, it could be something relatively neutral or feels comfortable to say. And then when we've done that for a little while, then let's regather here and have a few moments to close and up around this topic. It's okay? So, anybody would like to share a little bit what that conversation was like or what you just... anything? I wasn't privy to any of the conversations. Just the loudness. Yes, could you pass the mic back there?
Well, I want to say first how much I enjoyed being in the group and discussing that question. And there were two things that stood out for me in the discussion. And one was how useful it is to stop and look at the trigger that causes the negative feeling, the resentment, whatever it is that's coming up. And then someone else in the group brought up that she sometimes thinks she's upset about a particular thing, but in the quiet, she can realize that it isn't that at all, that it's something completely different, and it makes it much easier to deal with it.
Great. So meditation gives you a different perspective to see what's really going on.
Yeah.
Thank you.
it was very interesting for me to see. I didn't know what I was going to say. I had something on my mind, and as I was speaking, it became clear what it was, or clearer, more clear. And as I spoke, I realized that the thing I wanted to understand, I had been understanding for a long time, as I'd been meditating and coming here and hearing Dhamma talks and reading. It was something that was actually happening very deeply.
That's a good thing to learn. So rather than expecting you will learn, it's already happening. Nice.
I didn't know that.
May it prove that you know a lot more than you realize.
I was thinking that I was realizing that what I've been doing a lot is sort of preventive maintenance, so kind of along the lines of what you're saying with the newspaper, since I started doing longer retreats, I'm not able to like listen to the news in the morning or talk radio and that kind of thing. I used to have the radio on in the morning after breakfast or during, and I can't do that anymore. On one level, I feel a little out of it because, you know, people go to, you know, chat with somebody, a party, whatever, and, you know, I'm totally clueless about what's going on in the world to a large degree, and I guess that's not exactly a bad thing, given what the... I do pick up, you know, the highlights, you know, of what one candidate or another, whatever is going on. But also I realized in meditation, my mind was sort of spun up this morning, and it related to something I had, a phone call and that I'd been situation I've been thinking about, and realized, oh, that maybe wasn't such a good idea. And so there's maybe ways to avoid having uncomfortable or what would seem like unproductive sittings.
Great. Wonderful. And you should be, I can reassure you that the real upper level highlights have been the same for thousands of years.
And the next thousand, whether I look at it or not.
It's right back, and it can be the last one.
Something that I'm beginning to learn how to do is to become more comfortable with my uncomfortable emotional states when I'm out of meditation, that I can kind of return to the breath and just be mindful of how I'm feeling rather than rejecting it, rather than saying, oh, I'm doing this task at work and I feel anxious, that's bad. Instead, I just sort of step back, breathe, and say, this is how it is right now, and that's okay.
Great. Lovely. Thank you. So one of the things that about learning in meditation, learning in Buddhist practice in general, which I've seen in myself, and I think it's probably true for most people, and maybe it's helpful for you to know this as well if you haven't realized it yet, is that sometimes you have to relearn the same thing. Repeatedly, you forget, or you learn it in a new way, or see it in a new way, and a lot of it's just kind of learning it again. So for me, like today in my meditation, sitting here with you, I relearned again, in a sense, just reminded of that there's better things to do than to think. So thank you all.